kills my skin tight jeans. I've got a fistful of love that's coming your way, baby. Spike kills my skin tight jeans. I've got a fistful of love that's coming your way, baby. Spike kills my skin tight jeans. I've got a fistful of love that's coming your way, baby.
I'm hanging on a wire.
Put this podcast in your ear. It's queer but kind of fun. Here we go. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by the regional manager of Curls Aloud, David Lim, and me, bartender of the year at the Eskimo Club, Joel Babington. And we may be nearly 60 episodes in, but we're still searching for a language that the two of us can speak. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Wonderful, JB. I love being the regional manager of Curls Aloud. Put that on my LinkedIn bio.
You might even have a franchisee and take it down under.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. I've been doing a few too many nights at the Brasserie Zadel, so I'm a bit throaty, my boozy today. That's why. But it's sexy, it's sensual, it's all a-okay, because nothing is going to stop us doing today's episode. How are you doing, Davo?
Really good. Really excited to get into this one. We are finally back on Planet Girls Aloud. Which we try not to leave it too long, but you know, we love our little adventures, trying different things. You know, we had a two-part Aussie special, we've done Kelly Clarkson. That's just, you know, we had our dead rocker moments.
And we'll still have a dead rocky moment today, which we'll get there.
Don't put away those air guitars just yet.
Keep them out. But, you know, also, remember, we've been very kind, really. Think about the Sugar Babe stands. We kept them waiting between, and Steps fans. So this is a treat.
This is, you know, we're really like quite prompt with this one.
Well, anyway, David, I know we're both absolutely itching to get onto it, but can you read us a lovely 5-star review, please?
Absolutely. Now, this one is by Dwayne Heslop from Apple Podcasts Australia. So this is a review from Down Under.
G'day.
G'day. The title goes, Fangirling. A big fan of this podcast. As someone who left his teenage years behind in the mid-noughties, I am obsessed with this era of music. And to hear there are other people out there like me who are just as obsessed is oddly comforting. I love that the guys include us Aussies. And after listening to the episode, I always hit up Spotify to listen to the artist / band they've just spoken about. The best way to get through my work days and the best way to reminisce about the best time period for music. Can I fit in another best there? Thanks for everything, guys. Thank you, Duane. That's so lovely. And you know what? Of course, we got to give our Aussies a shout out. I'm from Down Under.
Thank you, Down Under Duane. That was a lovely, lovely review. Love that so much. And as you know, David, and I'm sure our listeners know now, there is nothing I love more than you introducing me to some Australian legends. If you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Here's a reminder for Duane and everyone out there. We do have Spotify playlists to accompany every episode, so go and check them out when you want to listen to the tunes after. And follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, Davo. Girls Aloud. What will the neighbours say? Where did we leave them? Where are we picking up today?
Look, this is a brand new era, and just a reminder, this is 20 years of Girls Aloud this year, which is why we're unrolling this series. The time is right for us to get into it and celebrate these 5 icons. We're taking you all the way back to 2004 and 2005 on this episode for What Will the Neighbours Say? The second album was a hugely successful era for the girls and a real level up as well. And you know, JB, a lot of our pop faves, dare I say, struggle a little sometimes if they've had a really successful debut era, but the opposite is true for Girls Aloud, isn't it?
We've got the official introduction of Girls Aloud today, I would say.
This is who we are as a group. This is our DNA. And thank God there are hits to go along with it. They scored 4 consecutive UK top 5 singles in this era, including their second number one single. They embarked on their first ever headline tour, released 2 DVDs, one of which is their first concert DVD. The girls are really coming to their own here. And I feel really excited just kind of looking back, because they were what? between the age of 20, 23. And you know what that time in your life is like, isn't it? It's just like you're entering adulthood. You're feeling hot. We're seeing an image transformation with the girlies. They're showing a more fun, more glamorous side. And it just makes me so happy to see it.
David, I believe Nadine and Nicola are still teenagers in this era, which is absolutely bonkers to think about. But these girls, as you were saying, absolutely really stepped into their own in this era. They showed up, they showed out, and 20 years on, we are still reaping the benefits of it. So, David, let's pick up in 2004. The girls are starting to work on their second album. And before we talk about this single, there were potentially three other choices for the lead single, David. So, Wake Me Up, Graffiti My Soul, and Androgynous Girls.
I don't know how far along in the album making process it was. I got a feeling that they were still working on the album, but it's nice to see that they have four front runners at this stage as a lead single. All very different kind of vibe and energy in a sense. Girls Aloud wanted Wake Me Up to be the lead single of this era, but the label thought it was a little too hard sounding. Now, I don't know about that reasoning, JB, because we've had No Good Advice and we've had Sound of the Underground. They're pretty, I mean, especially No Good Advice, it's quite spiky.
I think from the girls' end, they probably thought this is a natural next step from our first album era, but the label's thinking we want more fun. Even though the album still would have been a whole lot fun and would have had these fabulous pop-tastic tracks on them, if we delivered Wake Me Up as the first single, everyone would have assumed the whole album would have been that, and it probably would have been hard to change perceptions.
Remember, we're just coming, 7 months after Jump, which was a huge international hit. Doing something as frivolous as Jump kind of put them in a new path. And going with the show feels like a natural successor to that, doesn't it?
Isn't it interesting of normally in people's careers, they sort of get edgier and edgier as they go on. But here we've taken a step into more pop, more fun.
Maybe there was a little bit of fear to do something frivolous because it might be seen as cheesy because they were already seen as that group from pop stars. You know, they wanted to be have a little bit of edge to stand out and show that they have credibility. But there was no denying that Jump absolutely changed everything and it made them think, okay, maybe we can do crowd-pleasing stuff and still have success and still be accepted as credible, you know?
I personally do feel like this is a bit of a underrated classic when it comes to Girls Aloud. I feel like the next single does eclipse this slightly, but I did love it then, and boy, I love it even more now. I think it's fantastic. I think it's the perfect reintroduction of Girls Aloud. What about you?
To me, JB, this one was a little bit of a grower. The very first time I came across it was actually on, remember I told you in Australia back in the day, I had UK TV, which I guess was some sort of hodgepodge of different programs on maybe ITV and BBC, but we had Top of the Pops there. And I remember watching the Top of the Pops performance for this and being really blown away that, okay, these girls aren't even fronting. Like, they're not even bothering wearing mics for this performance. They're just lip syncing it and just being proud and giving you a performance. And I really picked up on the lyrics being a little bit unusual. Should have flooded my mascara like a butterfly instead of being lazy. Like, what does that mean? Like,
David, I'll be honest with you. I think on these songs, still, there's lyrics I don't actually know what they're singing. And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but it makes you think, right? I find that much more interesting than lyrics that are too direct. Because this kind of, I don't know, I just think there's so many different ways to express yourself. And I love these metaphors and these pictures that they draw with their lyrics. I don't think this song would have worked without Girls Aloud. Like, without the unique combination of these five girls' vocals, it could have very easily sound like a very cheap Eurodance record. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. And it absolutely is gorgeous when we have them all doing the oohs together. And it absolutely is perfect for them. It's perfect for a five-part girl band, and not just any five-part girl band, this five-part girl band. It is that perfect mixture of camp, but not too far. Like, they teeter on theatrical, but not where it becomes naff.
And I think I know exactly what that is down to, because the production is so pop as a clock. But I think what it is the girl's particularly low energy and quite pouty delivery. Now, this is something that Charlie XCX has praised Girls Aloud for on her Best Songs Ever episode. She was talking about Sound of the Underground on one of the episodes. I think it was the one with Rena. If you really put like 110% in the vocals, then it becomes cheesy. But if you do it in a kind of should have known, should have cared, should have hung around the kitchen in my underwear, acting like a lady, should have made me. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, oh my mate. God,
the sixth member is on the call, ladies and gentlemen. It is that whole thing of you've got to want it, but you can't show that you're desperate for it, you know?
Yeah, very British, right?
Very British. So, David, I think we should move on to the music video, which you're obviously regional manager of now, but back in 2004, we see our lovely girls working at Curls Aloud. We have Nicola as Chelsea Tanner, Nadine as Frenchie, Sarah as Super Styler, Cheryl as Maxi Waxy, and Kimberly as the boss.
Just something about Kimberly Walsh being the boss feels very right, doesn't it?
Well, we all knew she was the glue keeping the band together at this time, David.
She was organising the diaries, yeah, for sure. And also, Sarah Harding is technically probably the only one here that's qualified to do any of these things. She went to beauty college and she worked in a hair salon.
Didn't need a stunt double on the music video.
I did think when she was washing the hair, I was like, technique's very good, very believable.
Very good. Get the pound tip at the end. Now, David, I love this music video. We have the prop-a-tree, fantastic prop-a-tree in both this music video and in performances. I love that we have the brooms, because who doesn't want to try and recreate that dance routine? And I love that on here and some of the other singles in this era, you can take the essence of this music video and then do it in your live TV show appearances on varying scales. So sometimes we'll have just wooden folding chairs, but sometimes you've got the big salon chairs and, you know, there's layers to it.
And that machine that you, I don't know what that machine is, or that dome that you put over your head.
And I always thought that looked so glamorous as a kid growing up.
We need more music videos set in salons. Honestly, we had Destiny's Child's Bills, Bills, Bills. We've got The Show by Girls Aloud. Who's next?
Yeah, and I mean, it does feel like a bit of a real nod back to sort of a classic musical theatre thing, because there's that song, I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. Which,
where's that from?
I don't know what it's from. Don't question me on the spot, but I'll give you the song. I'll give you the song.
I bet Kimberly would know.
Kim would know. But that's why she's still in musicals and I'm not, David.
That's why you're singing at Brasserie's Adele.
Yes.
And also you have that element in the storyline where they're taking revenge on men, which feels really fun, really cheeky. And it's kind of like, yeah, it's just kind of irreverent in that way. And it's very typical Girls Aloud rebellious streak, isn't it?
Absolutely. And did you know that, David, that was real waxing that Cheryl did in her scene on the guy? She even said she couldn't do it properly. So I think it was really painful for that poor guy. But he earned his paycheck that day.
He'd be crying to the Daily Star going, Cheryl abused me. It's interesting that Nicola is Chelsea Tanner. But, you know, we know years later she spoke out about her obsession with tanning in this era. And we're very happy to see that since then she's, you know, grown comfortable in her own skin. And shout out to Nicola, who's always so honest and just so upfront. And yeah, it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Nicola is still a teenager here.
And we know what it's like at this time. We're all figuring ourselves out.
And we're all figuring ourselves out. And that was a part of us then. And, you know, we are who we are now. And we all grow. And we've got to love ourselves back then. And we've got to love the growth that we have. So love to see it.
Love to see it.
I had seen today for the first time ever the Royal Variety Show performance from 2004. Now, this was a big theatrical salon inspired performance. There were so many dancers, David. So it starts with the girls at the front in those big hair salon style chairs, and then they've got tons of backing dancers to fill the stage behind them. Halfway through the number, David, they all get into a changing room and do a quick costume change.
You gotta pull all stops for this one. I love it.
It was just, I couldn't believe that I'd never seen it before. And it was so elaborate. It was so fantastic. It was what we see in the music video and on the live TV appearances, Pop World This Morning, etc., but just taken to the absolute most. This debuted and peaked at number 2 here in the UK, held off the top spot by Usher's Burn. Usher,
what were you thinking?
What were you thinking, Usher?
Now, I have to say,
what is wrong with him?
I have to say, looking at the UK charts at this time, the show was like a giant glittery pop unicorn. There was absolutely nothing like it in the top 10. There was a real strong R&B influence at this time, which I must say, 2004 to 2006 is my favorite era of pop R&B. But that particular week, Usher was number 1 with Burn. We have Mario Winans, I Don't Wanna Know. Number 5 was Kylie's Chocolate, which is an R&B feeling song. That debuted at number 6. Blue was there. Black Eyed Peas were the other new entries. So yeah, can you imagine the show in amongst all that?
We celebrate this greatest era of pop music, but when you were living it, it did feel far and few between. It felt like we had Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes in a mainstream pop way and not much else. So I remember it all too vividly, David. Thank God for streaming and thank God for sort of anything goes these days.
Now, I must say, JB, this was my very first Girls Aloud CD single. The show was released in Australia 2 years after, in 2006, and it was the quote-unquote second single from Chemistry. So the Chemistry album, that third studio album, had a different version in Australia. And the show was part of that story, which to me is wild because I've imported my Girls Aloud albums. So I don't see that kind of chopping and changing.
Where did this chart in Australia, David? I'm going to make you read it out to the listeners. It went in at number 67, but I won't berate you today because you've already told me this potentially fictitious story.
It's true.
But, no, I'm joking.
You know how on my Insta story, I like do the CD displays and sometimes I show like the notes I write inside the CDs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I've got like a little note that says, bought on release day in 2006.
I'm going to quickly go and write it in now, guys, and then smudge it a bit so it looks old. No, I love that. And I'm glad you went and got it. So hopefully between you and Adam, that's at least 2 sales for the show in 2006. In other places, Thank You Scotland, it was a number 1 smash on the Scottish charts, 90 in Romania, 5 in Ireland, and number 9 on the European Hot 100 singles. Now, my little love machine, let's move on to 2004, where the girls are back with what I would arguably say is the biggest song of this album era, Love Machine. Come meet my dreams, honey, hard as it seems. Loving me is as easy as pie.
This is signature. And to think, you know what? The girls did not want this as a single. They wanted Deadlines and Diets instead, which is a mood. And I get why someone would say that, but
I said this would be career suicide for releases.
Yeah, that's actually a Nadine Coyle quote.
Yeah.
The group would be a laughing stock.
And Love Machine was still picked as the second single from What Will the Neighbours Say, and thank God. But David, in the girls' defence at the time, I'm going to just make up all these things now. You know how we just like to say what may have happened. It was maybe still quite a demo-y version that they were going by, and they probably wanted to go with a bit of light and shade because they've had such fun pop with the show that they felt, all right, Deadlines, Diets, it's serious, it's a bit more moody, it's slower, what a great light and shade. They didn't realise that to many people it would really seem like this is the lead single of What Will the Neighbours Say, like the unofficial lead single, I would say.
It's so interesting, isn't it? Because this song is so memorable and it's so distinct. Even though I can see why people would say it's naff, it can smell a little bit like a novelty single, but to me, I just thought it was a great pop record and it's just so much fun. And I just wish it had more international success because in the way that Jump was quite easily accessible, I felt like Love Machine was super accessible in a way that the show couldn't be.
You know how I would say, I love S Club 7 and they deserve all the, like, I'm great that people love this song, but like Reach is considered their biggest hit and I can't stand it. Like it, this is like the good version of that, like the creditable version of that, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
It's what everyone knows. It's what will get done at karaoke. And I think it's, yeah, it's a signature hit. They didn't know they needed at this time. But, you know, going back to what you were saying, JB, that they might have felt some type of way because there might have been a different version of the song or a demo at that time. Nicola actually said this song was recorded in 18 parts. Over 3 days. So God knows what version was out there. And in fact, there was a demo version of Love Machine that got released as part of...
Oh, yes, as part of Pop Justice, 100% solid pop music, and then was later released on the singles box set, I believe, Dave.
Such drastically different lyrics on that one. Still very similar melodies, but like... it wasn't Love Machine as we know it. It was a different vibe altogether. And that demo version of Love Machine had just Cheryl, Nadine, and Sarah's vocals on it. Sleep tight, I won't bite. I've got a look up on my face. I know it seems like I'm right. I'm shy most of the time. Feel like I'm out of place. Be my Valentine. I put your number on my wall and I remember your taste. Your time at my place. I'll get into you.
I do feel, looking back at this era now, it does feel a little bit like your native language equivalent to ingesting K-pop. It doesn't matter what the lyrics are and you're not taking them in. It's just fantastic pop music.
Even though the lyrics are quite wild, there was a mood to it. There was an attitude to it, you know. With the show, it was quite, you know, I'm the girl in charge. Nobody sees the show until I say so. And with Love Machine, you know, you're again, the woman that's in control. You know, I'm just a love machine feeding my fantasy. Give me a kiss or three. I need a squeeze a day. Thank you very much.
Still girl power. And David, I was obsessed with it. I remember, like, on one of my first early camera phones, like, me and my friend, like, dancing to it in the living room and feel like I would teach them the routine and then we'd film ourselves. I think we'd even try and do a little sketch and be like, we're going to order, pretend we're at the bar and order Love Machines and then burst into the song. Couldn't capture the magic of the girls, but we will always try, you know?
I love it. That's so adorable. Shall we talk about the music video, which was directed by Stuart Gosling, who, JB, you'd be pleased to know, has directed a lot of Vanessa Amorosi music videos, including your faves, Kiss Your Mama and Perfect.
Fantastic work, Stuo. Well, bloody done. I wonder if V saw this on his reel and was like, ah, Eskimo Club, love that. So, David, this portrays our five girls at the Eskimo Club, which helps tie in this lyric because Let's Go Eskimo.
It's too iconic to be left on the side. I mean, come on, you got to do something with it.
Yeah, and to some may not make sense, but now it's like, well, it's the Eskimo Club. And we have our girls dancing and sipping champagne while singing their song.
A glamorous Hun's night out. I love it. Now, this was filmed in Marco Pierre White's A Titanic restaurant in central London. Apparently, the food wasn't very good at the time, but, you know, we're not a food reviews podcast, so we'll leave that to the side. But it was apparently a place to be seen for celeb spotting back in the day.
Imagine, David, all what we do and, you know, pop commentary, a food Marco Pierre White cease and desist is what stops this podcast. Could you not be as overwhelmingly positive about my restaurant as you are with the pop music, please? I'll say it was old David's. I had nothing to do with it.
Please don't put me on your blocked list.
We've got this huge signature Girls Loud track. Let's flip to the B-side. We've got what's one of the options of our potential lead singles here, Androgynous Girl.
Wow, Androgynous Girls. Pretty boys like Impression with androgynous girls. So pretty soon shit'll happen. What a wonderful world. And your mom's getting younger to your daddy's delight. But he can't feed his hunger. What a beautiful life. justice for this quirky indie rock style song. Honestly, any of those indie landfill bands that were coming out this time, if they had released this, this would have been a signature hit for them.
Yeah, you're right with that of saying any of those other bands should have done it. They should have gifted this to Frank or the Faders.
Frank, yeah, this would have been a good single for Frank. Maybe one day JB will do a Forgotten Girl Bands episode. Who knows if you guys want
it. Ready and waiting.
If you guys want it, let us know.
Yeah, do let us know. And to me, I think it's a great track, but it does feel like a B-side to me. But maybe I just needed it presented a different way, yes. There were some really brilliant performances of the time of this song. So in 2004, they performed at something called Simply the Best without Nadine.
Oh, a Tina Turner TV show?
No, I think it was more, I don't know if it was like a celebrity show where celebs were doing sports. This is really someone that doesn't know anything about so there was sports and there were people there and it was an outdoor performance. I don't know what it was and I didn't care to look because I don't care. But Nadine wasn't there and Kim actually opens the song. She has Nadine's lines in the first verse.
Ladies, you're damn right. You can't read a man's mind.
Yeah, open a cappella. Let's hit the track after they've done our lines. No, it was a lip sync performance. So studio version. So I guess working with Xenomania is great. That I wonder if they just have versions of everyone doing the lines ready to go for this kind of situation.
Yeah, that's right. Bring out CD63. That's the one that's got my lead vocals on it.
Yeah, I've actually had it in my purse ready to go, just in case. So yeah, I wonder if in the vault at Xenomania, they've just got all these different versions. It makes sense in the mix down at the end, like, all right, we'll just do a version of all the variations. We never know who's going to not be at CD UK one day. Also, they did a big, fabulous performance at the Smash Hit Poll Winners Party and at the Disney Channel Kids Awards. Now, I think both Poll Winners and Disney Channel Kids Awards need to come back.
And we are available.
Disney Channel's like, now this is the Disney Channel Kids Award. We're not sure about your suggestion of the Lee Latchford Evans Sexiest Male Award.
And also, according to our research, your podcast has an E sign next to it, which says you're explicit.
Oh, it's just E for entertainment. That's what we thought. Because we're a really exciting, entertaining podcast. Yes, he has lost the plot, ladies and gents and non-binary friends. We also have to mention that the Arctic Monkeys covered song on Radio 1's Live Lounge. If just when we thought this song couldn't get edgier.
Is it sincere or are they kind of taking the mick? What do you think?
No.
This was true love. Taking the mick. True love?
This was showing that I think a lot of musicians and these kind of like indie bands really sort of took note at Girls Aloud and Xenomania and just thought they were doing something really cool in the pop landscape. And we have to say it had some fantastic accolades, David, that we could only dream of. According to research carried out for Nokia in 2006, this was deemed the second most exhilarating song ever, second to Song 2 by Blur.
No. And no, that is wrong.
Recalculate those numbers.
Excuse me. I was in Australia at the time and I couldn't take part in a survey. So this is my vote. And that would mean that, well, I guess Love Machine's now number one. So
no,
yes.
We've got our cease and desist from both the chef and Nokia. Great.
Yeah, great. Doing well this episode. Yeah.
Doing well this episode. And Billboard also named it number 65 on their list of 100 greatest girl group songs of all time. Now, if that's Billboard America, that's very impressive.
There was a gay behind the keyboards over there that loved a bit of Love Machine.
Absolutely loved it. We have another number two smash hit here on the UK charts. It was held behind by Call On Me by Eric is it Pride?
Pritz.
Eric Pride?
Maybe.
Pritz.
Yeah.
Pritz, mate. It was, and again, it just shows the time we're in. We have these like huge 2000s dance tracks, R&B, and then Girls Aloud are just fighting in there, the pop corner. Alongside being number two here in the UK, it was number two in Scotland, 50 in Romania, 52 in the Netherlands, 9 in Ireland, and 8 on the European Hot 100 singles. It was certified gold here, 400,000 copies in the UK, David.
You would notice there is no Australian chart position because this wasn't released there, but I want to let you know that I did my part. I was in charge of editing and filming, actually, the Year 12 graduation highlights video. So we were doing all sorts of activities in our final year of high school. We went on school camp, we had our prom and things like that. And I had this idea of putting on the biggest hits of 2004 to soundtrack this video. So in there was Usher's Yeah, Outkast Hey Ya, Khalisa's Milkshake, Christina Aguilera and Missy Elliott's Car Wash, but in there was my little agenda. I slipped in Love Machine.
Wow. Did people know of the song or no?
I mean, I never had like formal feedback once I sent them the video. I was like, hey, what'd you think of that song that came in at like 35 minutes, 48 seconds?
We are doing a anonymous survey.
Via Nokia.
You should have included on the video when it was playing text Love Machine to Nokia.
Would you say this song is exhilarating? Y or N?
Thank yous for your work. So let's move on to November 2004, David. And I hope you know that as a friend and a podcast co-host, I'll always stand by you.
Now, Jolie B, this is a Children in Need charity single, and I was very surprised to learn there was originally quite a different arrangement for this song, something that would be described as weird, modernist, breakbeat, which Xenomania ultimately decided, look, it wasn't right for Children in Need, so they switched to something more traditional.
Yeah, it's such a shame that wasn't a B-side or something, you know, just sort of a remix.
Get it on there. So, Joel, I'll be honest with you. This was one I always used to skip back in the day because I kind of saw this as a very throwaway, generic cover for charity. But since Sarah's passing, it has brought on a whole new meaning, and it's pretty hard to listen to this one.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, absolutely, and completely agree and echo everything you just said, but it is an absolute, I think 20 years on, and obviously with everything that's happened, you realise what a gorgeous version of this song is. So obviously, if you didn't know, it is a cover of The Pretenders. But I think with everything that's gone, it is a beautiful song to sort of be a song in memory of Sarah. I think both this and The Promise are two songs that, you know, you just sort of like, you sort of toast your glass to the sky, don't you, when it comes
Absolutely.
On.
And also, you know, Girls Aloud was one of these groups that didn't try to drag out their farewell. You know, as we will get to in a future episode, their farewell was done over Twitter. There was no farewell single, there was no goodbye. So I think in a way we've all kind of gravitated towards this as the torch song of that kind of sentiment. Am I right, would you say, JB?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think even unofficially, I think maybe it unofficially started by the girls, because on the 10 tour, this is the song that they came together on, and it had the montage of them all over the years playing in the background. And then we have obviously our gorgeous friend Adam of both He's Allowed podcast and This Is Disco and The Record Doctor has his cameo in the 10 tour. He's face up close, he's crying in the audience when they're singing our Stand By You. So let's just say it's Adam that started it.
Thank you, Adam, for putting us on this journey.
But I think looking at it on, it's a cover done really well, really tastefully. you know, sometimes you don't need to reimagine something. You can just do it well. If we look at how covers are done well for, you know, Atomic Kitten with Eternal Flame, another number one single, which that was for the Atomic Kitten and this was for I Stand By You.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's these moments that it feels a little bit throwaway, especially for us fans that really want to like stand the original material. Sometimes these crowd pleaser moments are just what it is and we don't have to overthink it. But also, I must say, from the girl's perspective, it must be nice to have a ballad to really let your vocals rip, right? Because I'm sure along the way, there's been cynicism about, oh, you know, you're from pop stars. Are you a real artist? Blah, blah, blah. Can you really sing? Which is wild considering they all competed on a singing competition show.
I know.
But we've not had the ballad yet, have we, from Girls Aloud?
Life Got Cold, David.
Like, you know what I mean? Life Got Cold was a mood and it's not like kind of belting.
But no, it is. And it's given them, yeah, it is that standout ballad moment,
vocal showcase moment. Let the girls sing, let the girls flex on this one. So the music video was directed by Trudy Bellinger again, who did the show. Gosh, Joel, I have not watched this video in such a long time, but I must say it's a really, really beautiful, glamorous video.
We have the girls stranded in a desert island as they stand by each other. So I was watching the behind the scenes video. And Kimberly says, oh, so we're doing sort of, we're wearing these raggedy clothes. I'm like, raggedy? Raggedy, this is glamorous. I want to know what your glamorous is if this is raggedy. I mean, I wish my raggedy looked like that.
At the climax of the song, there's a storm that breaks out and then all the girls are huddled together in the tent. But it's not like a usual Glastonbury tent. No, honey, this is glamping with Girls Aloud. You know, very breezy, very, very gorgeous.
Never has a storm been so sexy.
And non-threatening, yeah.
And non-threatening. there is a version that ends on the girls holding the Pudsey teddy bear, the mascot of Children in Need, towards the end of the video. So the girls showed up and showed out to promote this song. It was only announced it was going to be the single 10 days before its release on November the 15th. So I don't know if that's because it was just planned, but they were waiting to announce the Children in Need single.
Or maybe there was another contender.
Yeah, Gareth Gates. But I don't know. It didn't seem like it was a rush. But it's just an interesting release strategy to not be announced in this era.
It was like, okay, let's do a big charity single the week before our album comes out. That will go number one. That will set us up nicely for the album. It just felt too good to pass up.
What a gift.
What a gift.
So, David, again, we've got some fantastic performances to go with this single. Obviously, they sung it on Children in Need and they gave us stunning live vocals. On CBBC's Exchange, there is a stunning, stunning, stunning a cappella version with just Nadine, Sarah and Cheryl.
Ooh.
And it is absolutely gorgeous.
Good on you for unearthing these gems, JB.
Don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you. I'll stand.
So as we said, this was a number one smash hit here in the UK. Also number one on the Scotland charts, 55 in Romania, 85 in the Netherlands, 3 in Ireland and 5 on the Eurochart Hot 100. So David, November 2004, Girls Aloud launched their second album, What Will the Neighbours Say? Now, it was very interesting for the band going into this second album, as it's come to light as years have gone by. Cheryl revealed that even though the first album did extremely well, Polydor was considering dropping Girls Aloud and not letting them have a second album. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. How dare they?
To the label and execs, they were saying, you know, Popstars Arrivals drew in 20 million viewers, which has not turned to 20 million sales, which we all know that is not how it works. But the UK god of pop, Peter Lorraine, convinced the label. He is, come on.
Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah.
Or maybe the godfather. Whatever. You can pick the title, Peter Lorraine.
Whatever you want, Peter. Yeah, you've earned it.
You've earned your diva-ship.
Wasn't this the Peter Lorraine that came out with Ginger, Sporty, Scary, Baby and Posh?
Exactly. So the title was yours for the picking.
Beyond diva-ship. The deluxe edition of diva-ship.
Yeah, platinum. 11 times platinum. Yeah, the UK godfather of pop, Peter Lorraine, convinced the label to give Girls Aloud a second album. Now, the label went over to Xenomania and said, we need you to do this album. Not just a couple of tracks, the whole album. If you're not going to do the whole album, there isn't going to be a second Girls Aloud album. We feel like you're the only people that get this project.
That is the best non-negotiable decision that's ever been made in pop music, in my opinion.
And what a great opportunity for Xenomania, because they get to then basically, as time's gone on, get to release like a best output of pure Xenomania tracks once a year or once every few years.
The girls really were Xenomania's muse. I feel like this was the right time for both Xenomania and the right time for Girls Aloud. Both helped each other rise in that way. So thank God this happened.
Just before we even talk about this album and everything, David, you could imagine a world where we're discussing Girls Aloud as this band, this reality show winners band that had amazing singles from their Mixed Bag first album and then had this brilliant pop perfection second album and then just disappeared. Much like how when we discussed Rachel was the UK Britney for that snapshot in time and how we long for further albums that never happened. You could see this potentially happening with this band here. And all I'm going to say is, thank God that didn't happen.
And I think what that came down to, JB, is hit singles. The right single choices were made. You're going into your album with already all that success. There's a kind of ambitious energy with this, JB. I don't know if you feel it, but I felt it looking back this time around for this episode. Almost that element of we need to prove ourselves and our range all on one CD.
It felt like a real commitment of who they are or who this era of Girls Aloud is. It feels like we've had some huge success, but we've learned what works and doesn't work. And this is what we're giving to you. And this is who we are.
And we're not wasting any space on this CD. Every song is there for a reason and it signifies something. It's either a creative choice or we're there to show off our vocals. It's all about the showcase.
And it felt like they could also enjoy it more. Whereas before it was, and we love it, love, love, love it. But where a lot of it was like cool and edgy with the first album, it felt like they could just thrive and be fantastic pop stars and really enjoy and be themselves with this era.
Yeah, and this is the album with the more interesting lyrics. This one was much more experimental and much more exciting. So shout out to all the writers and everyone involved and also to the girls for bringing their A game, because it really takes all these parts to just be like, that's why we're talking about it 20 years on. Now, this album's DNA is a pretty wild mix if you stand back and look at it. You know, we've got 80s-inspired electropop here. We've got dance music thrown in there, rock, some elements of indie, and also classic pop ballads to show off the vocals. Technically, it shouldn't all hang together, but it does.
And what's fantastic is we have all that on this album, and then interwoven, we have writing features from the girls themselves.
You know, you may be a listener that say only know the four singles, and that's fine, but we're going to get into every album track here, and we're going to unearth some gems, hopefully for those people that don't know, but also for all of us Girls Aloud fans that do love these tracks. It's so good to just go back and re-listen, isn't it?
Gorgeous. And what I love is, which I all, you know, we often say, but it just gives you fresh eyes and ears to listen to it when you go, okay, well, we're going to cover it on the episode. I listen to it in a way of not Joel, who's known this since he was 14 and it's just embedded. It's like you hear it for the first time in a way and you go, oh, okay. But I'm now going to talk about it all like I'm 14. So let's kick off with Deadlines and Diets, David.
I cool until reality hits me in the face and drops the phone in the tea. And you left no number, left your wedding ring. There's nothing left to do but kick back and sing.
Chemistry was my first Girls Aloud album in, and then I went back and downloaded this one. So for me, I went straight for the bangers on this album. And sadly, Deadlines and Diets was sort of left to the side. But re-listening to it in recent years, I can really super appreciate it.
This is a track that, which we've mentioned, the girls wanted as the second single. And I do get the feeling that the girls absolutely loved this. And I think it's a gorgeous song. I do feel like this is one, in a fantastic way, especially connects with the female audience of Girls Aloud's fan base.
This is track 6. This is the kind of real moody moment following Jump and Wake Me Up. So it's kind of like a come down after a night out.
The song is about the next day, isn't it? And it's about all those feelings, everything that's going on, getting done over by these dickhead guys, being hungover, which we can always, a gay male audience, relate to very much as well.
Don't you feel like this is kind of a portrait of life in your 20s in the big city, right? It can be any big city in any country in the world. Deadlines, diets, and devious men are going to be part of your story.
Left no number, left your wedding ring.
Oh, I mean, that's another story for another day.
You're like, did I just see straight John leaving your bedroom, David? What, this wedding ring, that's not straight John's. No.
That's straight Gareth.
Got my collection of wedding rings on the bedside table.
Devious David's men.
Devious men.
David's devious men.
That's your sitcom.
Love it.
If you recast The Best Friend as someone that's not me, I'll be fucking furious.
Fuming. Absolutely fuming. I would never do that to you, JB.
Deadlines, Diets. As we mentioned, I believe, on our last episode, this is another song that is a cover of Miranda Cooper's project, Moon Baby.
It's 3 a.m. and you still look gorgeous. My morning after feelings kicking in. I hate to say, but I'm feeling nauseous. I'll put that down.
I also think it's great for Xenomania in a way of these fantastic tracks that they have get to have a second life and get to reach more people. And in a normal situation, you would be creating new songs every time because you're probably going to get maybe 3 songs on an album at absolute best. So you wouldn't go into the drawers and see what's available. Whereas this time you've got to fill a whole album. And it's probably like, okay, well, this song and this song's already fantastic. Let's work on that. And then let's create some new grade A songs.
Yeah, I think you've got a point there. That's really good that they were given that space. And as a result, they can go back and revisit. Let's move on to track 7 on the album, Big Brother. Now, this one, JB, is an instant favorite of mine.
I think about you, baby, every night. Oh, it feels so good. It's got to be right.
Co-written by Cheryl herself.
Oh, Shezza's a big, big brother fan. Who would have known?
Well, I've been watching the telly, right? And there's this show, I don't know if you've seen it, Big Brother. So what's interesting is that the girls, their co-writes is as them as a solo entity, but it's credited as Girls Aloud.
And if everyone's sort of there in the room vibing anyway, like, let's just split it 5 ways, girls. Like, we may never have another album. So let's just cut this track 5 ways and let's get whatever we can get.
Where was the usage for this for globally the campaign for every Big Brother around the world?
Can we just say what a part of the cultural zeitgeist Big Brother was at this time?
We could have had a whole 1984 musical centered around this song. Could be created by Xenomania and Pet Shop Boys, your influence there. That would work really well. And starring Miss Kimberly Walsh. Big Brother's watching me, and I don't really mind, wink.
The thing I really like about this song, JB, is that the kind of, this is a time where we're hearing a slightly sexy, a slightly kinkier side to Girls Aloud that we haven't heard before. We're hearing breathy vocals in the verses, which we've, again, it's a new thing for Girls Aloud, but I was living for this.
Love it. So hear me out, David. Let's move on to the next track. Hear Me Out, we have this stunning Sarah Harding co-write here. Much more recently was the name of Sarah's biography. What a beautiful song, David. This is the chance to have my say, yeah. Hear me out. I've done my running, believe me, without a doubt. I no longer take the blame. Hear me out. My heart is broken and bleeding, but it's beating. No other man.
Now, JB, in revisiting this song, I've noticed that the beat is almost identical as the Nicola solo track later down on this album, I Say a Prayer for You.
Now, I was going to say that when we got to Nicola's.
Yeah, but do you think there was like some sort of songwriting exercise where the girls were sent to different rooms with a particular beat and go, hey, have a go at writing, see what you come up with.
Yeah, and I mean, and that might be as well why Nicola's is a bonus track. Who knows?
Ah, because just so we don't clock it, but I mean, come on, we appreciate the whole body of work. We consume the whole thing.
It felt like Sarah just like put it all on the page with this track. Grade A, like brilliant, brilliant, brilliant performances from Sarah and all the girls.
Since Sarah's passing, I've just taken this song in a whole different way, and it's now in its own level of reverence.
The song just gets more beautiful and beautiful as it goes on. And then when you hear the girls like singing from one line to each other and it keeps changing, it just like, it gives you that, all the feels.
It's a very poignant coming of age song, in my opinion, because these are young women in their early 20s, as I said before. They're finding their way. They've shot to fame on a TV show. They've all moved to London and have a new life now, new experiences. The last 2 years has been a huge period of transition. And you look at these lyrics, never too small, can't stop me growing, taking the world on day by day, follow the way the wind is blowing, free to explore and find my way.
We've said this before, but this is what makes Girls Aloud brilliant, is that they are five real girls that they were all pursuing the industry, but they're not, you know, your London adjacent, like wealthy backgrounds. They're five girls that it took a reality show for them to have the opportunity to break into this industry. And it very rarely that this happens, but went to the five right people. But yeah, no one's ready for this industry, and especially these girls, but they really navigated it incredibly. You know, I wouldn't want to be in that position looking back. Did you just say Britney, David? Because we need to move on to the next single, or the next song, sorry, Graffiti My Soul. Now, speaking of Britney, David, this was written for Britney for the In The Zone era. Now, I know everyone listening already knows that probably, but, you know, that was kind of a talking point at the time and I could never really hear it. But now I really do hear it as that In The Zone edge.
Someone somewhere has the version that Britney recorded, because apparently she did record a demo of it.
She did record it.
It's in the vaults.
It's in the vaults in Xenomania. Again, another one we hope's released. So this includes a sample of Peb Lab's It's Not The Drug. And it was due to be the final single, but it got scrapped so the girls could start working on their next album. But David, what do you think of this song?
Look, Joel, it was always the one that really stood out for me, but it wasn't, for me personally, convincing as a single.
It's a stellar album track.
Because you look at the quirkiness of The Show, and we'll get to Wake Me Up, don't worry, guys, and Love Machine. Even though the lyrics were quirky there, there was like someone listening for 2 seconds or 10 seconds can grab onto. Whereas I don't know if Graffiti My Soul has that stickiness, you know?
That's why Britney turned it down. She wanted more of a chorus. So he thinks that Britney and team and Jive essentially wanted Sound of the Underground too. And Cheryl has heard the Britney version. She described Britney's version as strange.
Strange? because it hasn't got me vocals on it. I just can't hear it.
I'm so used to hearing me singing it. Cheryl actually said Britney sang it in that really strange voice and it freaks me out.
It freaks me out? Like Halloween? You know what I mean? Can you imagine a music video for this though, JB? Because I see this as a David LaChapelle style, very bright coloured music video for Girls Aloud. Obviously with graffitis. And it's in New York City.
What we would have actually had was just a graffiti room that's a tattoo parlour and the girls tattooing people. Now let's get back to pure fun, pure Girls Aloud with a swinging number, Real Life.
I was thinking of nights without you. Damn right, I'll see it through. And I was thinking of life without me. I know it's just insanity. 'Cause baby, this is real.
And I think in big part to what will the neighbors say's success is down to the quirky lyrics and unconventional song structures that, of course, we will come to know as signature Xenomania.
We've got a real sort of swing number here. I love it. It's lots of fun. Could have been on Chemistry. I feel like it's the early sound of Chemistry here.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think Real Life deserved a lot more. I don't know why, I just have a real love for this song. When I was listening to What Will the Neighbours Say for the first time, I was at uni, so I was definitely getting my mind on my occupation. The lyrics here are just so surprisingly real. You know, it's better to be living than surviving, which is one of, I think, a lot of Girls Aloud fans' favourite lyrics.
Manufactured, when it comes to music. When we were kids growing up loving pop music, it was seemed like such a diss to say something was manufactured and you were meant to feel shame about it and it was real slander. Might drive a car. Is that car not manufactured?
Oh, here comes philosophy lesson from the JB. Yeah, but you are right. Yeah.
So why do we not consider that when a pop song is incredibly well manufactured, that's not an excellent thing?
It's this question of authenticity, and it boils down to, you know, favoritism towards a certain style of creating that you have to be authentic. You have to be the one writing your lyrics. And I mean, in reality, there's many, many different ways of creating art. There's no one type of expression. There's no one type of art.
Anyway, Davo, here we go. The next track on the album. Another track here that was originally released by Miranda Cooper for her Moon Baby project and then released by Lena from Aqua on her solo album. And arguably most famously, this song is used as the Totally Spies theme song.
Listen, Miranda Cooper paid off several cars with this track alone, I reckon. There was a Totally Spies check coming in. There was Lena's check in Danish dollars coming in. There was Girls Aloud's British pounds check coming in. Get it, Miranda?
It was the gift that kept on giving. It's absolutely a fantastic Girls Aloud solid album track banger. I do remember as a teenager thinking it was a little strange that this song that is already quite famous for being a cartoon theme song.
Oh, so you already clocked it before hearing it on the album. Ah, interesting. Oh, yes. Because I knew the Lena version because I got her album probably the year before in a bargain bin in Malaysia. So I've been listening to her version and I downloaded Girls Aloud's version, I think. But they were so close in time that I might be remembering it wrong. But I distinctly remember preferring Lena's version.
Don't do sex, but I do second base. So why suggest you wipe that frown from off your face?
David, if Lena is a fan of our podcast, she might be sat there thinking, do you have to say bargain bin every time you bring up buying my album?
Still paid for it, hon.
Still paid for it.
That check's still coming. So what was Totally Spies? Was it on like a primetime network? Was it quite big?
Yeah. I'm shocked. Maybe it didn't make it to Australia. Our Australia listeners will have to let us know. So Totally Spies was kind of like Powerpuff Girls meets Charlie's Angels, a cartoon. You had these fabulous high school girls that were spies, so they'd have to like leave school. I can't remember it that well because it's a long time ago. But like, say they went through a bookcase at school and then they went to their lab, got changed and went off to be spies and save the world. Really, really good. Like, that lends itself to having a live action reboot.
But I like that that song had that kids TV theme song, Life. And then there's the pop version with like quite cheeky lyrics, you know. Put your tongue in my ear, it's queer but kind of fun. And then there was a line about, I don't do sex, but I do second base. I remember at that time, because I was at uni, I was like, oh, I know what that is.
Cheeky, cheeky. So obviously none of those lyrics were on the Totally Spies version. It even had some rewritten lyrics. It was just the chorus, and I think it even had some rewritten lyrics. And I believe it was sung by Miranda Cooper, so get it, Miranda.
So 1, 2, 3 now, baby.
In 2004 or 2005, say there was a summer barbecue or a family function or a family and friends of the family function, it would just be sort of putting on CDs to have on in the background. And I remember it was like, obviously we've got to put Girls Aloud on, what will the neighbours say? Gets to this track, couple of straight boys my age, friends of the family, are like, this is the Totally Spies soundtrack, how have you got this song? I'm like, it's also a Girls Aloud song, boys, keep up.
Yeah.
But yeah, fabulous little quirky number there. Now, David, we're off to the Kimberly Co-write of the album, Thank Me Daddy.
Because those little lies are satisfying. Thank me, Daddy, for the things that you'll never know.
Now, I think this one is an excellent companion to Big Brother. This is another one of my favourites on the album. And I think, JB, this is sort of the grown-up sequel to No Good Advice, would you say? Because we've got the same rebellious streak that we heard from the first album. But now it's kind of like, you know, the rules that I'm breaking, the beds that I'm shaking were there for the taking. How could I say no? Like, it's a little bit saucier.
A little bit saucier, a little bit grown up, and just the tiniest hint of No Good Advice, but at the Brasseries Adele. Great work from Kim and Xenomania. Now, if you bought an international copy of the album, that is the end of the album right there. But you're lucky, you're on Right Back At You, so we're going to talk about the two bonus tracks.
JB, let's talk about I Say a Prayer for You, the Nicola Roberts solo track. I absolutely adore this, JB. Look, this is the first of two quite lovely breakup ballads to end the album.
I gave you everything worth giving. Please don't forget me or worse, regret me. No.
Stunning. It is absolutely stunning. And how lovely that
sounds.
Nicola,
like you're crying.
It's absolutely stunning. How lovely for Nicola that she got this co-write and she also got this standout solo moment. I do wonder if this one, where they're bonus tracks, maybe it was just that Nicola and Nadine sung them straight through and they didn't have time to do everyone else and they ended up being bonus tracks. Either way, we're for the win, and I love that she had this moment here on this gorgeous track. As you already beat me to the punch and pointed out, does sound very similar to the Hear Me Out track, but that does not matter at all.
It's such a bittersweet song, and this is one that's on my Trouble With Love Is playlist. And I distinctly remember actually driving and playing this track not long after my breakup. Like, some of the lyrics are just so absolutely shattering, you know. Remember when you used to call me on my phone, checking I was safe and I got home. Now you won't even return my calls. No memory of me at all. I wonder, do you still remember the 2 years we were together? Oh, Nick.
Is Nick the name of your ex as well as Nicola, or no? That would have been such a good coincidence.
Actually, Nick was actually the name of my ex, but I was thinking of Nick with a C as in Nicola.
I know, but that's just like the universe, isn't it? Bloody hell. So yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous track. Now, David, long before Lady Gaga said there can be 100 people in the room, Nadine, with her co-write and solo track, was telling us there's 100 different ways.
Remember how we stayed up dreaming, all the things that we believed in. I know too much has happened, baby, oh. And every day I wonder why I let it go. I wanna tell you.
Joel, I must say, this was one I used to skip all the time, but re-listening for this episode, what a brilliant vocalist Nadine is, and I'm so glad she got to shine on her own here.
I mean, this is a really stunning, soulful number and a great way to close out the album. And I think on that note, let's do some chart stats. So David, this went in at number 6 here in the UK, and number 12 in Ireland. It was both double platinum in Ireland and the UK. It also peaked at number 4 on the Scottish album charts. At the year-end charts in 2004, it was our 44th best-selling album here in the UK. And in 2005, it was the 136th best-selling album. So that's great, little year-on-year showing up and showing out there.
Now, JB, the week that this album debuted in the UK, it was the highest charting new entry that week. It was such a competitive time of the year in November, as you can imagine. 5 places above Girls Aloud was U2, Robbie Williams' Greatest Hits, Eminem, Il Divo, and Kylie's Ultimate Kylie Greatest Hits. Like, it was literally stocking filler season. And there is Girls Aloud coming in there with an original album that doesn't really sound like anything that's out there, but they're still getting that number 6 top 10 placement.
And I just hope people put that context in there. When the wrap-up meeting, they were like, number 6, but also I hope they gave the context that you just gave. There was also Kylie, Robbie. Shocking filler season, greatest hits for the mums and dads.
Exactly. But do you know what? It spent 6 weeks in a UK top 20, which is twice as long as Sound of the Underground.
So to promote this album, David, Girls Aloud did the template of what a dream pop act should do to plug an album of this time. They had a whole MTV special dedicated to them.
Interviewed by Emma Willis and Dave Berry. I mean,
that's not Dave Berry, darling.
Who's that? They said DB.
It's not Dave Berry.
Who is it?
I don't know who he is, but he's not Dave Berry.
Okay, some bloke. Okay, we got to keep this in because it was an iconic mistake.
But the important thing's right. That is Emma Willis.
JB, we had some hilarious fan questions.
Some are like genuine fans, and some I'm like, is that just a plan? Is that like a journalist that's just tried to get in with all these fans? I loved as well when they got asked who their, like, who their crush would be. It was like the interview version of the Saturday's Gentleman.
And Cheryl was like, I've got a list as long as me arm if you've got the time. Usher, Justin, 50 Cent. Pharrell, obviously. George Clooney, if you're saying an older man.
That older man type.
Sorry, my Cheryl accent is really off, but oh, they're all somewhere in the vicinity.
David. What I loved about the whole interview was they were, when they were going around and asking about, like, who would they would like to join the band, or like what other female artists they're liking, or who they listen to. One's trying to answer, and then other would like add to their answer. And it's like, but who are you going to answer when it gets to you? If you're so quick telling Sarah to say Christina and whoever, like, who are you going to say?
That question about who would be the sixth member of Girls Aloud if you could pick. And Cheryl said Jamelia or Natasha Bedingfield. Very good choices there, very good Cheryl. Choices. And then Nadine was like, Beyonce? And then Cheryl was like, Beyonce will show us all up. She can be the backing dancer.
She can be our backing dancer. She can dance for us.
Also, I love this bit where it was, if you could date any member of the band, who would you pick? And Cheryl's like, Kimberly, because she's quite affectionate, you know, and she gives good cuddles. And then Kim's like, I do give good cuddles, yeah.
And it wasn't Emma Willis like, I wondered what you were going to say then. I'm like, this is a family program, Emma. So on top of this interview, we also had some fantastic performances of hit singles and some album tracks that are yet to be released. But we also got a performance of Sound of the Underground, including a newer-to-me dance break. I hadn't seen that dance break before. And I loved that it just, it was fantastic, 11 out of 10. But it also gave the feeling of, like, girlies at the school disco doing their set routine together. But I loved the vibe. It was still so fresh, Young Girls Aloud. Like, it felt like they were moving into a really new, exciting direction. But you could just feel the pure joy coming off of them. They were still so excited to be what they were doing. They were clearly loving what they were doing. Their personalities were shining strong, you know. You could just feel the pure love and excitement for being in Girls Aloud at this time.
This is so precious. And as you told me, JB, offline, that this was incarnated in a Girls Aloud DVD that came out in 2005.
Exactly. So they followed it up the next year with the Girls on Film DVD. And you know how much I love good value for your money, David. So this included this whole MTV special. And as someone that didn't have MTV, that was great. It was the first time I got to see it. I did have this DVD, if you didn't get that. It also included every single music video to date that far. So from Sound of the Underground right up to Wake Me Up, which we're about to get into. And we also had behind the scenes of some videos, and we had some footage from things like CD UK. So it was great from the girls. It was all that content that was already there. They didn't have to make anything new for it. But for a fan, you got this treasure trove of stuff. We're seeing these music videos in a high DVD quality. I've probably not even seen some of these music videos before, or not in their entirety. So it was a great must-have DVD. Right, David, let's kick off 2005. It's a new year and we're going to get rocket. Zed Rocket. We are finally getting to Wake Me Up. Your passion belongs to me, myself and I. Wake me up before I drop out on you. You treat me rough to show that you care, and I just can't refuse, baby. I loved it then, I loved it now. It's such a standout to me. I do think it's right to not be the lead single, but I think it is a fantastic standout single.
You know, I'm not the biggest rock fan, as you know. I had more of an R&B phase in this time than you did, Joel, but even I can't deny that this is a fucking banger.
So, David, did you hear the original version of this song?
No, tell me.
There's an original version with a different first verse. It was released on the bonus disc of the first Greatest Hits. So we have a different verse here, which is fab, but it's just so weird to hear different lyrics when you're so used to this track as is. Easy Tiger, what's been going on? You kept me hanging down in limbo for too long. You had your phone while I've been sleeping underground. But baby, hey, when you gonna come away and turn around?
So the first verse is different, but everything else is the same.
Pretty much everything else is the same, yes.
Where is this Sound of Girls Aloud Greatest Hits? because we need that on streaming. There were certain songs on there that need to be on there.
Yeah, what, as in, like, I Think We're Alone Now?
Money.
Sacred Trust. Money. Well, anyway, that's all for another day. But David, let's talk about the music video for this. So the music video for Wake Me Up was directed by Harvey and Caroline. It portrays the band as rocker chicks as they ride motorcycles along a desert road. David, I love this music video. It's cheap, but fantastic. We have this sort of evening desert green screen motorcycle wacky race. And the girls have motorbike sort of, again, sort of propography.
Yes.
We have sort of solo moments from them all with Cheryl and her temporary tattoo.
Shezza with that white leather cropped jacket and that stick on rose tattoo is giving a bit of VB, Not Such an Innocent Girl. I know we bring out Victoria Beckham all the time in our episodes, but that was really giving me that. Speaking of Spice Girls, I will say that opening shot where all five Girls Aloud members are racing down with their bikes, and then we cut away to shots of them like kind of looking over their shoulders on the bike and stuff. It was giving me kind of parallels to Spice Up Your Life, where each member of the Spice Girls were on their hovercrafts and they're just racing through the city. Did you get that energy as well?
No, I completely get it now that you've pointed it out. But it's not a thought I came up with authentically. And I'm always being obsessed with the hair flip. Wake me up before I drop out on you. Flip, yeah, flip.
Yeah, iconic. That instrumentation inflection was made for hair flicks. They knew you were going to do that.
Even when I ain't got no hair anymore, I still do it. Do you know what I mean?
Also, let's just say Sarah Harding steals the show. For me, she steals the show with this music video. Like, she was giving main pop girl energy here.
She is the authentic rock princess of pop, like, actually, you know. So she's absolutely at home here. And this was her favourite, you know. It was the girl's favourite, but it was her favourite to be the lead single. So.
I mean, she sang the first verse, didn't she? So, yeah, get it.
When we see the helmets at the beginning, she's the first one we see, and then it pans out to all five of them. Actual star of the show, top billing.
Also, shout out to Nicholas Bridge in Wake Me Up. When she sings it live, it is always a pure highlight for me. Never realize that you've been shed. I think you're off your head. Come on, mass singer winner Nicola Roberts.
It goes to show how I really didn't know what any of these lyrics are. I always thought the lyric was not, I think you're off your head. I always thought it was, I think you're heartbroken.
Whereas I thought the lyrics was, never realize that you've been shit. I always thought the lyric was shit. And I was, I looked on Genius. I was like, oh, it's not.
But yeah, what a absolute smash fire moment to end the album campaign on. This, David, won Pop Justice £20 Music Prize. Doesn't get better than that. So, David, again, some notable performances of this time. They kicked off promo in January 2005 on Top of the Pops with the motorbikes. 2005 was off to a great start. They then later performed it on Top of the Pops Saturday, where they went and surprised Neve and performed it at her primary school.
That's so sweet. Did they bring the motorbikes for that?
No, they weren't safe for the primary school. So yeah, it's fabulous. That is a segment Top of the Pops Saturday did do around the time. There's also an infamous clip of Rachel Stevens surprising a girl at her primary school and doing Negotiate with Love.
Ooh.
I'm just sitting there like, I'm just jealous. No one came to my bloody school.
That's actually a really good idea. I wish we did that in Australia. We had plenty of Australian pop stars at that time.
No Tamin Sersok at Down Under High doing a little meet and greet performance and signing. So anyway, Wake Me Up was an absolute smash hit. We got two unique B-sides for this track, David. Now, we had History, which was kind of like a mellow R&B Cheryl-led track. I would say it's kind of like 90% Cheryl.
But in the end, there's too much down. And I was on my knees when
got Lovin' Is Easy, which is this fabulous Kimberly-led track. It's got everyone on there, but Kimberly prominent.
I love this as a bluesy ballad B-side. And also, like, guys, let's just think about this for a minute, because we've had the album out already. Bonus tracks on there. We've had Sarah Harding basically leading on Hear Me Out. We've had a Nicholas solo, a Nadine solo as bonus tracks. It's only right on Wake Me Up that we include the Kimberly-led and the Cheryl-led songs, right? I think that's a very classy move.
Absolutely. And I just think Lovin' Is Easy, although it's a shame it's not the Hearsay cover, I now mourn the loss of Where's That Sound in Kimberly Walsh solo album. She sounds gorgeous, and that sound suits her so much.
Shouting stories in the rain, round in circles once again. It's too much for me. Loving is easy. It's all of the rest that just gets in the way. Devotion don't feed me.
So this was a smash, considering everyone already had the album. This was an absolute smash. Number 4 on the UK singles charts, 4 in Scotland, 6 in Ireland, and 13 on the Eurochart Hot 100.
Now, before we get into the very exciting first ever Girls Aloud headline tour in May 2005, in April 2005, the girls hired Hilary Shaw as their new manager after Louis Walsh. And we all know, it's been well documented by the girls that Louis was barely there as a manager. But what I found really interesting looking back is that Sky News reported that the girls were really angry at Louis because they'd heard that Louis had planned to disband the group after their album to launch Nadine as a solo act. And it was such a story to the point where Nadine had to comment on the group's website and said, "I absolutely have no intention of leaving the girls and going solo. What sane person is going to leave the biggest girl band in the country?"
And also, what a way to do humble brag of the biggest girl band in the country.
Listen, shout out Hilary Shaw. We know Hilary also managed Danny Minogue during the Neon Knights era, but prior to that, Hilary was also Bananarama's manager, so we know she does good work.
Thank you, Hilary, and it's only exciting and the only way is up. And it was a great time for Hilary to come on board because, as you said, Girls Aloud were doing their highly anticipated first ever concert tour.
How very exciting, the What Will the Neighbours Say tour.
So the girls went on tour in May and June 2005. They did 22 large theatre-sized venues. I just want to give a shout out to, they were the opening acts on this tour, a duo called Cute and Triple Eight, who Kimberly's husband was part of, were the support act on the London dates only. But the
really?
Other opening act, really, yeah. The other opening act, David, was short-lived girl band Cookie. Now, I know they will be absolutely infamous to some of our listeners, even if you are sat there, David, with a blank look on your face. Now, Cookie, they sung Do It Again, which has been living rent-free in my mind since June 2005. But what is interesting here, David, is during the original lineup of Cookie featured a Miss Nicola Ward. Now, that name might ring a bell to you, David, because Nicola Ward was part of the original Final 10 on Popstars The Rivals.
Oh, yes.
And she left Popstars The Rivals due to contract issues. So halfway through the What Will the Neighbours Say tour, Nicola leaves Cookie. And another member quickly joins. So Nicola Ward leaves and Amy Flack joins halfway through the tour. Her first show was the Manchester gig of the tour, which is slap bang halfway through this tour. Anyway, back to our headline act.
I am so, so impressed with A, the costume changes. I feel like the girls maybe didn't do more than 2 songs at a time before changing an outfit. And B, the level of choreography with their first show is so on point.
I wish I had gone to this tour so badly, but I didn't get to go. But Kylie did, and my dear friend Jess and their group of friends went. So I've been very envious of it till this day. But it was a tour of lots of fun, much like when we did our Kylie Light Years episode. It was that snapshot in time of where you're seeing Kylie in this fantastic, fun 2000s pop era, but just before she's doing huge arenas. You're still in this slightly more, still big venues, but slightly more intimate feel. So I would love, love, love to have been there. Unfortunately, it wasn't so. So thank God for the DVD.
So Joel, I must say a highlight for me is the salsa version of album track Real Life, which really brings a new flavor to the show. I feel like at this point, they've just gone through all the ballads, you know, I'll Stand By You, and have done Deadlines and Diets. And then suddenly it was that outfit change, and also the harmonies when they just go, because baby, this is real life. Like just hearing all the girls together, like really luxuriating on the harmonies. You don't get that on the album.
I actually really loved them doing Girls on Film.
I know Kimberly's gotten lots of mentions on this episode, but she really is the gift that keeps on giving. Before the girls performed Girls on Film, she was there like on the mic telling the audience, this is a song that the mums and dads were like.
This one's for the mums and dads. Imagine there's just a mum at the bar with a glass of wine. Gotta get back in there.
I think it's absolutely incredible. And as you know, I already love Here We Go, the album track. Sarah was just giving her ad-libs just the extra 10%. And I just really appreciate that kind of real rock star moment for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the energy up. That's the way to start off the show, Sarah. I loved the No Good Advice section. So we've got this like school outfits from the girls and the backing dancers, but it's sort of like denim adjacent school outfits, very pop star cool. But it includes the My Sharona sample in the live arrangement.
And speaking of that kind of mashup medley thing, I loved it when they did Girls Aloud, the album track from the first album. It was school disco vibes, and they did it as a sort of mashup with Chic's La Freak. So we have Sarah and Nadine going to the very top of the stage. They're not participating in the hijinks and the dance-off that's happening there. They're the two main vocalists of this song. And Cheryl was having a real Strictly moment. Did you feel that with her performance, that she was giving a Strictly?
Oh, yes. I mean, dancing-wise, you got that from Cheryl for the whole show.
They're all great movers. They all move great. But I feel like Cheryl just kind of felt like she was living and breathing the choreography a little bit more. And it was kind of, you can tell by the head turns, the poses, just the hip thrust. There was just the extra 5% more from Cheryl that was just like, she is in her element. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is what I've been working for all my life to get to. And then we do have to say, although this one might not be our like standout, it is great to see the Teenage Dirtbag cover because of how it set it up of the following tours would all sort of have at least one big cover moment in the tour, kind of exclusive to that tour.
Nicola, vocal queen with Teenage Dirtbag. I feel like that was the time she really like came to the forefront in the center. Yeah. And also like this was probably, in my opinion, one of the more musical theater performances that we were getting on stage, because we were seeing a little bit of the male dancers coming out, giving that kind of swoon, you know, flirting with the girls, and it was more of a narrative, right?
Yeah, it was very school talent show in the best possible way. Just when Nicola has to get those like live flourishes, like what we were saying about Wake Me Up section, that something that wouldn't necessarily be on a recording, but is just for a live performance.
Head voice, Nicola. Oh, let's go.
Amazing. I just loved the layers in this kind of owning the stage in this theatre-sized tour setup, and really gets gives them the chance to live and breathe a tour, have fun, excitement with it, but not be out of their depth by kicking off an arena tour so early on in their career. The only way is up, you know?
And we're going to see that with our future Girls Aloud episodes. Like, honestly, it was so beautiful to go back to this live concert. I unfortunately do not own this on DVD, but I'm really thinking about it, JB. You know, I might just get on eBay and see what I can get.
And I hope our listeners have been enjoying this episode. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email us rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can hit that subscribe button, leave us a lovely 5-star review, and you can follow me on all social platforms at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@lovelymy.
Until next time, bye.
Wake me up before I drop out on you.
Swish, swish. Wake me up before I drop out on you.